Try a subscription to Gardener's World magazine for just $14.99 and find inspiration for your garden. You and a loved one can enjoy two-for-one entry to hundreds of gardens nationwide. Visit buysubscriptions.com/May24 to subscribe.
Hello and welcome to the BBC Gardener's World magazine podcast, brought to you by the team here at the magazine. Join us as we chat all things gardening with the nation's favourite experts.
Hello and welcome to Garden Favourites with me, Alan Titchmarsh. This is a new series of podcasts about some of my favourite things, not whiskers on kittens and brown paper packages tied up in strings, but the plants that I love and think are indispensable in a great garden. You see, everyone gardens differently and has their own favourite plants to grow. So join me as I share the plants and gardens that have become dear to me over my gardening years. A lot of gardeners think they can't possibly fit in fruit. Oh, heavens above, I've got no room for a tree. No, you don't need a tree to grow fruit. And if you do want a tree, you can get fruit on dwarfing rootstocks. We're still allowed to say that. It just means that the rootstock onto which the variety is grafted controls the vigour of the tree, and the dwarfing rootstocks will keep it small. But of course, there are lots of other fruits you can grow without needing much space at all. If you only grow one fruiting plant, and you've got children and grandchildren, well, you'd better make it the strawberry. It's the most versatile of fruits in that it can grow in the smallest area. Even a large flower pot will host two or three strawberry plants. You can get strawberry pots, which have sort of pockets all down the sides into which a little strawberry plant can be pushed. The biggest difficulty with those strawberry pots, be warned, is keeping them moist. Don't let them dry out or the plants will just stop growing. But in a sunny spot and some good peat-free multi-purpose compost in a strawberry pot with these little cups down the side that you plant them in, you'll get a decent little crop off that. And the great thing about strawberries is that grandchildren and children love going and picking them. Planting strawberries you can do in spring. You might have to wait a year or so before they fruit if they're really young. But I wouldn't bother about pinching the flowers off, as some people suggest, in the first year. Goodness me, no. They'll get their roots down. They'll be strong enough to support a few fruits. And when it comes to varieties, do you know, I'm only going to give you one because I grow several on my fruit patch here. But there's one which is sweeter and more beautiful than all of them, and it keeps on cropping, and its name is easy to remember. It's a strawberry called Sweetheart. If you grow Sweetheart strawberries, you'll wonder why you grew anything else. They've got a real proper strawberry flavour. You'll need to keep the birds off them at fruiting time with either some netting or a fruit cage. If you are putting netting over them, do make sure that birds can't find a way in and get tangled, because they get very distressed. But finding a good strawberry-like sweetheart at the bottom of your garden that's cropping, oh, well, you'll be lucky if you get them, because either the blackbirds will have them if you don't net them, or your children and grandchildren will have them before you do. When they start pushing out runners, these long stems that have plantlets at the end, which will then root and extend the territory of the plant, well, when you've planted a row of strawberries, generally plant them about a foot apart, cut all those off. When you find after a year or two, well, 3 years usually, your plants are getting a bit lacking in vigour, then you can start keeping the runners, allowing the plantlets to root, and then digging up and replacing your older plants with the youngsters. But until you actually need more strawberry plants in, say, year three, keep snipping them off. That way you'll divert all the plant's energy into producing the little white flowers and those yellow centres, which eventually turn into strawberries. Variety again? Sweetheart. You'll bless me. I know there is a tradition that children, babies, are found under gooseberry bushes. It's my lifelong disappointment. I've never found one there yet. I reckon it's because they're a bit thorny. And that puts people off growing gooseberries sometimes. They make a shrub, generally grown on what's called a leg, which is about 4 or 5 inches of bare stem, and then whoosh, the bush comes out the top. They are thorny, they're not easy to cultivate in terms of getting your hand in and among them to pick the fruit. But Oh, it's so worthwhile when you do. There are lots of different varieties. There are green gooseberries, yellow gooseberries, sometimes called white gooseberries, and purple ones. It makes no difference. They will all be delicious. And my wife, Mrs. T, makes a wonderful gooseberry fool. They start to crop in early summer. You can pick the fruits when they're quite tiny if you want and take them in to the kitchen or let them get bigger and then you'll find they go further. Gooseberry fool, gooseberry pie, everything wonderful. When it comes to pruning, shorten the side shoots by about half as they're growing and snip off the shoot tips in winter just to try and keep the bush a bit open and stop it being too overcrowded. Don't get hung up about pruning. It's really just pruning it to shape and making sure the centre of the bush isn't congested. Good soil with a bit of muck or garden compost dug in and an open sunny spot, and you'll find that gooseberries are really worth having. Sometimes you'll get something called gooseberry sawfly, which will strip the bushes of their leaves back down to the midrib. It generally happens after they've cropped. And to be absolutely honest, if you're feeding them well, it won't do them much harm. It'll reduce the leaf area a lot and in theory weaken the bush. But I've never known gooseberry sawfly kill a gooseberry bush. Just keep your fingers crossed. Hope you don't get it. And if you do, let the blackbirds come down and eat them. Gooseberries, wouldn't be without them. Fruit in general tends to need lots of light. Bright, sunny spots in the garden are where you grow your fruit trees and your bushes. But if you've got a bit of shade and you'd still like some fruit, grow raspberries. You'll often see wild raspberries growing in woodland, and it's an indicator that they can cope with a degree less light. Now, I don't mean dense shade where you can't see your nose in front of your face, but just dappled shade. Raspberries will do fine there. There are two distinct kinds of raspberries. There are the summer fruiters, which fruit on canes that are 1 year old. We always call raspberry stems canes. We tend to grow them in a row and tie in the canes, spacing them out on horizontal wires so they're about a foot apart. And then there are the autumn fruiters. That's a bit of a misnomer, really, because they flower in late summer and they flower on wood which has grown that year. The big difference between summer and autumn fruiters lies in the pruning of them. Autumn fruiters, in February, you can cut right down to the ground. The summer fruiters, cut the canes off the moment you've taken the fruit from them, and those new ones that are coming up are to be tied in because they're the ones that'll carry fruits the following year. So summer fruiters, fruit on that one-year-old wood, the autumn fruiters on current season's growth. Varieties, I love Malling Jewel for a summer fruiter. And then there's Autumn Bliss, which I like for autumn, or Ziva. If you want to make sure you get them all, yeah, grow them under a fruit cage. If not, be prepared to share them with birds and with anybody else who's going past who just wants to pop one in their mouth. But really, the thing about raspberries is they're easy to grow, provided you're not too greedy. And you do remember to thin out those canes so that they're about 9 inches to a foot apart on the support framework. And with your autumn fruiters, chop them right back to the ground come winter. And then you have the wonderful delight of the postponement of gratification until the following summer. Oh, I do like raspberry time. When you're trying to get an apple tree into a garden, well, if your garden's big, it's fine, and it makes a lovely thing, a good, big, solid apple tree to fasten a swing on a lower branch and go underneath it when the blossom's there, coconut ice pink, or then in late summer and autumn when the apples are fruiting and it's carrying its bumper harvest. But not every garden's got room for an old apple tree that size. What every garden does have room for is step-over apples. These are single-tiered espaliers. Now, what that means is there's one single stem that's grown up to about a foot, and then a bud is allowed to grow on each side of that stem when it's cut off at a foot, and you train one to the right and one to the left. So you end up with a T-shaped plant, and those two side branches, all the side shoots on it, can be cut back to about finger length in summer. And the fruits will form on those two laterals, as they're called, the two branches. And they're great for planting around a veg patch. You can literally step over them. Now, you are not going to be self-sufficient in apples. But what you will do is have one or two, well, more, you'll probably have about a dozen on each tree that'll amuse you. And to go out and pick your own apple and have it with a bit of cheese is lovely. Varieties, entirely up to you. I love Ashmead's Kernel. I like Egremont Russet too, which isn't a rosy apple, but its flavour is absolutely wonderful. So if you've no space, but you'd like to grow an apple tree, think about stepovers. They're grown on dwarfing rootstocks. They won't eat you out of house and home. And they're a bit of fun, if nothing else, around your veg patch. They always say, you know, plant pears for your heirs. Well, what a load of rubbish that is. If I'm planting a pear tree, I want to eat the pears. I don't want to save them all for my children. They're not nearly as slow growing as you might think. You can buy pear trees on rootstocks which are quite vigorous, or just slightly more dwarfing rootstocks. Find one that suits your garden and the space you've got. The nurseryman or the garden centre should advise on the right size tree. And then you can plant it in a good open spot where it's got room to grow. The biggest thing about a pear is choosing the right variety. There is one variety and one variety only that I would always put at the top of my list. It's a juicy pear. It's a fat pear. When you bite into it, the juice will dribble down your chin. And it's called Doyen du Comice. Now, the most common pear, and one of the easiest to grow and the best to crop, is Conference. Conference makes quite a long pear, not as dumpy and as fat as Doyen du Comice, but I wouldn't spurn it completely, quite simply because it's what we call in gardening a good doer. It will generally crop quite well. You can even grow Comice, as it's generally shortened to, and Conference as step-over pears. I've got a couple on my veg patch. I only get half a dozen pears off each, but to have grown it at home gives me that added frisson. So if you want a pear tree for your garden with the best variety, go for Doyen du Comice. Or if you just want a good solid pear for cooking or for dessert when it's ripe, go for a Conference. The only thing about pears is getting them at the right point of ripeness. They ripen from the inside out, and that makes it difficult to predict when they're going to be ripe. If you've got them and you're storing them, check them every couple of days, just the gentlest of squeezes, and they will suddenly go. And that is the moment to eat them and let that juice dribble down your chin. When I was a boy on my granddad's allotment, as well as his soot water for his cabbages and his sweet peas growing up wigwams of canes, he also grew blackberries. Blackberries on my granddad's allotment had the classiest of supports. Not for him some post and wire framework. No. Granddad gave up his brass bedstead for his blackberries. And there they grew with the shiny brass knobs sticking out of the top of the thicket of branches. I've never forgotten it. I can still see it in my mind's eye, even though I was an absolute nipper when my granddad was alive. But blackberries are great things to grow at the end of your veg patch. If you haven't got a brass bedstead you can stick out there, grow up a post and wire framework and train the long arching branches in. Don't let them turn into a thicket like brambles in the wild, which we used to go raiding for blackberries in late summer when I was a boy on Sunday afternoons. You go blackberrying in Yorkshire, they call it blegging. Don't ask me why, but we go blackberrying every late summer Sunday afternoon with me mum and dad and a little tin, an old biscuit tin in which to put our blackberries. We come home stained to heck, you know, but there we are. We had some lovely blackberry and apple pies. They're really easy to grow. Stick one or two at the end of your veg patch over a post and wire framework. Train those stems in. And in mid to late summer, you'll harvest a smashing crop. They are thorny unless you grow a variety like Oregon Thornless, and that makes picking even easier. The leaves are that much more lacy than the normal rough-leaved bramble, but Oregon Thornless will give you a great crop and it won't scratch you to pieces when you go and harvest it. In my garden, there are various old trees that were here when I arrived. There are a couple of damsons and also a couple of plums, Victorias. And I do love Victoria plums. They're quite generous with their fruiting, plum trees. They don't make too big a tree, perhaps 4 or 5 metres high, but they don't take up a huge amount of room. If you've got a sunny corner where you can grow a plum, Come mid to late summer, you'll love harvesting victorias. And of course, it is the king's favourite fruit. How do I know this? Well, you only have to listen to the words of the national anthem. Send him victorias. You see, he likes... I'm sorry, but I had to sneak that one in, didn't I? Do grow some and enjoy them picked fresh from the tree. The important thing to remember about plums, and damsons for that matter, is the time of pruning. Generally speaking, except in the early stages of training, they need no pruning at all. But if you do want to cut branches off, do it in late spring and summer, not during the winter. There's a nasty thing called silver leaf, which attacks plum trees. And if you prune in spring and summer, it's far less likely to affect them than if you prune in winter. Just think about it. A plum or a gage or a damson in the corner of your garden. You have an instant cottage garden and glorious fruit. Yummy. That's it from me. Until next time, enjoy your garden, whatever the weather.
Thanks for listening to the BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts and never miss an episode. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tell others about it and rate us in your podcast provider app.